Good evening, and welcome to another episode of These Last Days, the program that brings you sound Bible teaching and sound Bible doctrine. For without sound Bible teaching and sound Bible doctrine, you cannot make sound decisions for yourself as well as your family. I am your host, the Still Man, Tony Keaton. Saints, thank you for joining me for yet another installment of These Last Days. As we continue on our journey from the east to the north. Okay, I say that rather tongue-in-cheek. As some of you may know, the Freemasons, they say they're on their way to the east. But a lot of people, and even a lot of Freemasons don't know where they're going. Where they're coming from. They know they're on their way to the east, but they don't know where they're traveling from. Well, if they knew their Bibles, they would know they're traveling from the north. They're traveling from the north to the east. Okay, because the Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 14 that God sits in the sides of the north. Okay, God sits in the sides of the north. You can find that in Isaiah chapter 14. And so the Masons are traveling away from God, and they're actually traveling toward the east. Now, they don't know what they think the east is, just the place where the sun comes up, but what they don't know is that it's actually a physical place, spiritual place as well, because Babylon was in the east. The ancient mystery religions came from Babylon. That's what they call it. The Bible calls it Mystery Babylon. And of course, Babylon is in the east. So Freemasons are actually traveling from God, and they're on their way to hell. Okay? They're going back to the ancient mystery religions. Okay? But we're going away from that. Okay? Most of us came out of that. We came from some type of idolatry, some type of spiritual darkness, but we're on our way. We've already found the Lord Jesus Christ. We're already going to heaven. Okay? So I'm actually just speaking metaphorically that we're on our way to the north. But let's just say we are. Okay? And actually, that's true. We're on our way. We're journeying toward the north. Okay, we're not there yet. Spiritually, we're there, but we're not there yet. We're on our way. So as we journey toward the north, to the house of God, thank you again for joining me on this journey. What we want to talk about today is, I've entitled this program, Does God Hate Blacks? And there's a reason why I want to do this program. Okay, there are a lot of I've had this conversation a couple of times, not very often, but a couple of times. You know, certain black people have walked up to me, okay, and said, you know, what's going on? What's the problem? Why is it that blacks have suffered so? What's going on with? What's the deal? You know, they want to know, okay, they want to know, and that's a good question, especially if you're a Christian, okay, you found the Lord Jesus Christ. Or maybe you're not even a Christian. If you're just a person that wants to know. You want to know God. Somebody's talking to you that there is a such thing, that there's a being known as God and his son, Jesus Christ, who died for your sins. And someone says you ought to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your savior because he died for your sins. And the first thing out of your mouth is, well, what's God done for me? Okay? And that's what a lot of people think. They say, what's God done for me? Okay? All I've done is suffer all my life. You ask an African that, he'll tell you that quickly. Hey, what's God done for me? I've been suffering all my life. Why does God let Africans suffer so? Okay? So that is a question on a lot of black people's minds. And I haven't just been asked that. I haven't just had that conversation with black Africans. I've had that conversation with a couple of black Americans also. You know, they just say, well, what's going on? What's the deal with that? You know, they want to know. And even one white person, I've had that conversation with one white person. You know, why do you think that is? So people want to know. People don't ask that question, okay? It's one of those taboo type things you just don't talk about, okay? But it's on everybody's mind because we all know that there is a God and that God loves us. So you have to ask the question, why is it that blacks suffer so? So I want to answer that question to everyone's satisfaction. No, I'm not going to answer to everyone's satisfaction. I know that. Okay. But if you love the Bible, the reason I'm going to give you should satisfy you. Because it's coming out the Bible. This is not conjecture on my part. It's not me just yanking something, you know, out of midair. Okay. This is coming out the Bible. And everything that you get from this program will come out of the Bible. If I make a conjecture, it will be an educated one, an educated guess based on scripture and the evidence of our eyes and common sense. You always got to use that. Okay. So we're going to talk about this from a biblical perspective. Now, I think that what I'm going to do is we're going to go through this point by point. First, I'm going to give you six proofs that God loves blacks. Six proofs from the Bible that God really loves blacks. Because you see, I want to prove that the reason why black people have suffered so is because Satan hates us. Okay? I believe he hates us. Now, I don't have to give you evidence of that. You've probably seen that. All, you know, you've seen the evil that's been done to black people. Okay? Now, it's anyone's guess. If you're a Christian, you know the evil comes from the devil. So you know the devil caused it. So that makes sense to you when I say Satan hates blacks. But someone out there may not be a Christian and may be listening to this program and may not buy that, okay? But so I may not satisfy you with the reasoning that I'm going to give you now. But if you're a Christian and if you love the word of God, okay, and you believe it's God's word, then I ought to satisfy you. And that's who I'm basically speaking to, the Christian who wants to know, why do blacks suffer so? I'm telling you, it's because Satan hates blacks, okay? Now, I'm going to prove that I'm going to prove that Satan hates blacks by proving that God loves blacks, because we know that Satan is the antithesis of God. If God is for it, Satan is against it. If God loves it, Satan hates it, okay? And vice versa. If God hates it, Satan loves it, okay? So God hates sin, Satan loves sin. We all know that. So I'm going to prove that God loves blacks by proving that Satan hates blacks. I'm sorry. I'm going to prove that Satan hates blacks by proving that God loves blacks. Okay? So that's what I'm going to do first. And the second thing I'm going to do, I'm going to give you two proofs that blacks love God also. And that's another way to prove that why Satan hates blacks. Because blacks loved God at one time. Okay? Blacks really did love God. And I'm going to give you two proofs of that. Next, I'm going to give you the reason. There is one specific reason in the Bible that I'm going to give you that the reason why Satan hates blacks. Because he didn't hate blacks in the beginning. And I'm going to explain that to you. But he did begin to hate us. And I'm going to tell you where that all started. Because everything has a fountain. Everything has a cause. Okay? One reason why a particular thing happened. I'm going to give you the one reason that Satan hates blacks. Next, I'm going to give you the significance of blacks in biblical history, because you're going to see that blacks play a huge role in biblical history, a huge role, okay? A lot of firsts spiritually were done by blacks, believe it or not, which would be another reason why Satan hates blacks, okay? Because they play a big role in biblical history. And then lastly, I'm going to give you a personal anecdote to why all this is important, okay? Because it may not suffice for me just to say to you that blacks have come up to me and asked me. I'm going to give you a personal anecdote to kind of put it all in perspective where you can see why I would even spend time to research this, okay? It's not out of pride, and it's not for any I have no, I don't know how to put this. I don't have any reason to do this other than the fact that we want the truth. I want truth, okay? We should all want truth, okay? And everything in the material world has a spiritual counterpart, okay? So that means racism and hatred towards black, it has a spiritual counterpart. It does, okay? Now we can assume that since Satan is the author of all evil, that, yeah, okay, then all this comes from Satan. We can just assume that. But wouldn't it be nice to have proof where you can open up your Bibles and stick your finger on it and show it to someone and say, this is the reason I'm going to show it to you in the Bible? Makes sense, wouldn't it? And especially because we have the Great Commission from the Lord Jesus Christ given us in Matthew chapter 28, where he tells us to go out into the whole world, okay, and preach the gospel to every creature. Okay? Now, that means every creature. So, I mean, I would feel funny if there were certain people I couldn't witness to because I wouldn't know how. I wouldn't know how to answer their questions. Okay? Somewhere out there is a white that wants to witness to blacks, and he can't because he can't explain racism. Okay? Now I know this for a fact. Okay? I've had this discussion with someone. Okay? There are white people who want to witness to blacks, but they can't. I'm talking American blacks. They don't mind going over and being a missionary in Africa because they can explain to the Africans what is happening to them through colonialism. You know, they can say, well, you know, that was just the colonial mentality. That's what they say. Well, how does this happen to us? Why did white people do this to us? Well, that was colonial mentality. They had to conquer everybody. You can explain that to an African and he can understand that because he's lived under colonialism all of his life. So a white person can go to Africa and explain things from a colonial perspective. But how do you explain to anybody, not just a black American, but to anybody about how God is loving and we need to come to him, and you can't explain slavery and racism? Okay? I've had conversations like that with foreigners, and that's one of the first things that comes out of their mouths. What's the deal with that? What happened with slavery? Hey, what happened? What's the deal with racism, man? What? They want to know. How do you explain that? There are white people who can't explain that. They can explain like I said, from a colonial perspective, but they can't explain domestic racism. They can't put their finger on it. They say, I don't know. I don't know why there are whites that hate blacks so much. I don't know. They can't put their finger on it. Wouldn't it be nice to be able to go to the Bible and put your finger on it and say, this is where it all came from? Of course, that'd be a nice thing to do. So I'm going to give you that ammunition today. First thing we're going to do is we're going to go to the throne of grace and ask for God's blessing for this discussion. Let's pray. Oh, gracious and loving Father, we ask you, Father, for your blessing over this discussion. We thank you, Father, that we have breath in our lungs. We thank you, Father, that we have a sound mind and a sound body. And we thank you that we're in our right mind, Father. Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus Christ to lend us your spirit during this discussion, Father. Open my mouth. Let me speak those things that you want me to speak in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, I ask you to open the ears of the listener, open his understanding that he received this message in the spirit that it is given. Let your name be glorified, Father. Let me be humbled and let you be exalted through Jesus Christ. And we ask these things in his name. Amen. Now, first thing I want to do is to prove that God loves blacks, okay, is let's explain the whole thing. It starts back in Genesis 3. Let's go to Genesis 3, okay? Now, you know that Genesis 3 is actually the fall, what's called as the fall of man, okay? This is when Adam and Eve sinned, okay? Now, after Adam and Eve told them, okay, the serpent started everything, okay? We know that God talks to the serpent. Now, let's go to Genesis 3. We go to verse 15. Listen to what God is telling Satan. Listen to what he says. He says, quote, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Unquote. What I want to talk about is when he says, I'm going to put enmity between thy seed and her seed. This is important. Enmity between thee and the woman, Satan and the woman, Eve. Okay? Now, Eve is going to be dead. Okay? So what is he talking about? What is he talking about here? He's talking about righteousness, okay? The woman represents righteousness because before Satan got to her, okay? In the Bible, a woman always represents a church or religion. It always does in the Bible, Okay? We know that a false religion is known to God, is represented as a whore, as a harlot in the Bible. Okay? And a pure religion, like Christianity, is represented in the Bible as a chaste virgin. Okay? A chaste, unblemished virgin. Okay? So that's what she's representing. God is, we know that Satan doesn't have a seed because Satan is a spirit. He can't have kids. So we instantly know that God is talking spiritual things here. When he says your seed, he's talking about people that serve Satan. When he says the woman's seed, he's talking about people who serve God. He's talking about the church. The Christian church is what God's talking about here. So thy seed and the woman's seed is, the woman's seed is the Christian church. And Satan's seed is his people, the satanic church, okay? Not just Satanists, but everybody that hates God. So he said he's going to put enmity between the woman's seed and the woman's seed and Satan's seed. Now, that is a clue into why blacks have suffered so. And I'm going to tell you why. Because at one time, God's blacks worshiped God. They served God. They honored God. They loved God. I mean, they do now. Some do. But I mean, as a whole, blacks worship God back in the day. And I'm going to prove that to you out of the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Okay? So if blacks loved God, then of course Satan's going to hate blacks, is he not? Jews loved God at one time also, right? The Jews are God's chosen people. Okay? Satan hates them. We all know that. Okay? So if blacks love God also, then does it not stand to reason that Satan would hate blacks? Of course it does. Okay? So that's I'm setting that up now, okay? That if God put enmity between the woman's seed and Satan's seed, then if blacks love God, then naturally the people of Satan are going to hate him, going to hate blacks, okay? So I'm going to prove to you now that blacks love God, okay? But first, the way I'm going to prove that to you is this way. The first thing I'm going to do is, I told you I was going to give you six reasons, okay? Six proofs, okay, that God loves blacks. The first proof is this, okay? He sent his people into Egypt. He was always sending his people to Egypt, if you notice that, okay? He sent Abraham to Egypt, okay? He sent, this was in Genesis chapter 12. He sent Abraham to Egypt. He sent Joseph to Egypt. That's in Genesis chapter 39. And he sent Jesus to Egypt with his father Joseph and Mary, okay? That's in the book of Luke. He was always sending. Now, ask yourself this question. Why is it that God was always sending his favorite people, his chosen people, to Egypt? He sent Abraham there. We know that Abraham is the father. The Jews say he's the father of the Jews, but the Bible actually says that Jacob, Israel, was the father of the Jews. Abram is actually the father of Christians also, because the Bible teaches that Abraham believed and it was accounted to him for righteousness. That's in the book of Romans. Okay, because when God told Abraham that he was going to have a kid at 99, Abraham believed. His wife, Sarah, laughed. Okay, that's what the name Isaac means. Isaac means she laughed. Okay, because when Jesus said, you're going to have a kid, okay, she was standing in front of the tent and she chuckled. Okay, and then the angel said, why did you laugh? And she said, I didn't laugh. He said, yes, you did. You know, but she chuckled in her mind. And then she knew that was God because she didn't chuckle out loud and he still heard her. So she knew, oh, I just really messed it up. Okay. So Isaac means she laughed. But Abraham did not laugh. When God told Abraham, you're going to have a kid at 99, he was glad. He says, oh, great. That'll work. And the Bible says that Abraham believed and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So Abraham is the father of all who believe. That's why he's the father of Christians also, because we believe. Okay. So God sent his favorite people always to Egypt. Now you ask yourself, why is that? Okay? Now I'm going to tell you something now, because I'm trying to show you that God loves blacks. Now we know he loves the Jews, but I'm going to show you that he loves the blacks almost as much as he loves the Jews. Almost as much. Not his chosen people, but he loves them. One proof of this is the fact that he always sent his people into Egypt. Now you might say, what does that prove? Well, I'm going to prove to you that Egypt are black people. The Egyptians were black, okay? History tells us that they weren't. And the reason for that is because you have all this advanced knowledge coming out of Egypt. You got the pyramids that are perfect geometrically, okay? Perfect, okay? And no one wants to say that blacks built that, You got the Sphinx sitting there. I mean, all the mystery religions, okay, come out of Egypt, basically. Okay? Basically. I mean, it originated from Babylon, okay? But Egypt is the fountain of that also, because they practiced it for a long time. Okay? No one wants to say that, hey, all this advanced knowledge came out of Egypt, because you see, the people who supported slavery used the fact that Noah cursed his son Ham. Okay, but they said he cursed Ham, and he didn't curse Ham. Now we know that Ham was called the burnt one. We know he's black, okay, because Ham means warm or sunburnt. Okay, so we know that he was black. Okay, so the way they used to justify slavery was by saying that God cursed all the blacks because Ham was black. But the Bible does not tell us that he cursed all the blacks. The Bible tells us that he cursed Canaan. Canaan. Okay? Not Cush. Blacks came from Cush. Okay? That's why blacks were called Cushites. Okay? He cursed Canaan. Canaan was another son of Ham. He wasn't Cush. He was another son of Ham. So they misinterpreted the Bible to justify slavery. Okay? So in order to do that, now if you're going to tell blacks that they're cursed of God, you can't turn around and show a huge, prosperous nation with all this mathematical knowledge coming out of Egypt where the blacks supposed to live. So history has taught us that the Egyptians were not black. But the Bible says that the Egyptians were black. And I'm going to show you that they were. Okay, now we know that Ham was black. Okay, we know that. The Bible says it, that, you know, the Bible says that Ham, Strong's Concordance says that Ham meant warm and sunburnt. Okay, but I'm also going to show you from a secular source that it meant black also, as Alexander Hislop in the Two Babylons, in the book called The Two Babylons on page 48, says the following about Ham, and I quote. Oh, I'm sorry, this was a 24 that he talked about Ham. Give me a second here and I'll find it. Ah, yes. He's talking about the composition of another word, but this is what he says about Ham. Okay? He says, Her is Chaldee. This is on page 25 of the Two Babylons. Okay? It says, Her, also like Ham, okay, synonymous with Ham or Kim, the burnt one, unquote. I'll say that again. Ham or Kim, the burnt one, unquote. Okay, so we know that Ham meant warm and sunburnt, and here we go, a secular source, okay, that actually says it also, that Ham meant the burnt one. The Ham was actually called the burnt one. So we know that Ham was black, okay? We know that, and we know it also because we know Cush was black, because all Africans were called Cushites, okay? And Cush was the son of Ham, okay? So it's, if Cush was black, it stands to reason his father was also, and we know that's the truth. Now, I'm going to prove to you from the Bible that the Egyptians were black also. Turn with me, okay, to Psalms 105, to Psalm 105, okay? I'm going to turn there first. We turn to Psalm 105, okay? And this is God, this is actually David, okay, writing. This is Psalmist David writing about when Moses came and got the children of Israel out of Egypt. Listen to what he says about Egypt, okay? Listen to this. I'm starting at verse 21. This is Psalm, oh, I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong place. This is the next one I'm going to talk about. We're in Psalm 105, and I'm going to start at verse 23, okay? Quote, Israel also came into Egypt, okay? I'm going to say that again. Israel also came into Egypt, and Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham, unquote. Okay, listen to that. Israel also came into Egypt, and Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham, unquote. If you notice through the Bible, God does that a lot. He doesn't just call everything by one name. He'll call it by one name, he'll call it by another name. He does that for a reason. He does that so that we'll know that it's the same thing. Notice that he called Israel, he says, Israel also came into Egypt, and Jacob. It's the same place, the same person. We know that God renamed Jacob Israel. So God is calling Israel Jacob and Israel, and he's also calling Egypt and the land of Ham. Okay, so we know that Egypt was from the, was called the land of Ham. Okay, and Ham was black. I'm going to prove that again to you in a couple other places. Now let's turn with me to Psalm 106. Okay, we'll start off at verse 21. Psalm 106, verse 21. And I quote, "They forgot God, their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, and terrible things by the Red Sea." I'm going to say that again. "They forgot God, their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, and terrible things by the Red Sea," unquote. Again, we have Egypt being called the land of Ham, okay? Now we're going to turn to one more place, and that's in Isaiah. Turn with me, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 3. Now listen to this, because this is very important. Listen to this, because this is very important. Isaiah 43, verse 3. Quote, "For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Saba for thee," unquote. Remember, I always told you that God will call one thing several things so that you'll know that it's the same thing. So what does he call Egypt here? Listen. "And I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Saba for thee." Okay? Now, Ethiopia is not mentioned. Okay, we know that Egypt is called the land of Ham. Now it's being called what? Ethiopia and Saba. Now, where is that coming from? Okay? I'm going to tell you where it's coming from. If you go back to Genesis chapter 10, let's turn with me to Genesis chapter 10. We're going to find out who Saba was, okay? Genesis chapter 10, verse 8. I'm sorry. I was in Exodus. Genesis chapter 10, verse 8. If I can ever get there. Okay, Genesis chapter 10, verse 8. Now listen to the sons of Cush, okay? And the sons of Ham. Okay, listen to this now. The sons of Cush, I mean. I'm at Genesis chapter 10, verse 7. And the sons of, well, let's do it like this. Let's start from Genesis chapter 10, verse 6. "And the sons of Ham, Cush and Mizraim and Phut and Canaan." I'll say that again. "And the sons of Ham, Cush and Mizraim and Phut and Canaan." And I continue. "And the sons of Cush, Saba," I'll say that again, "and the sons of Cush, Saba," first son of Cush, okay, unquote. So we know that Cush was black, and we know his son's name was Saba, and we've already seen how God calls one thing several things so that you'll know that they're all the same thing. So he's called Egypt now Ethiopia and Saba, has he not? Yes, he has, okay? So we know that Saba is synonymous with Egypt. And we know that Saba was a son of Cush. And we know that Cush was a son of Ham. And we know that Ham was black. So Ham was black, Cush was black. If Cush was black, Saba was black. And if Saba is Egypt, then Egyptians were black. The further proof of this is the fact that God said what? Ethiopia and Saba for thee. Now we've already proved that Saba is Egypt. Okay, it stands to reason without further proof that Ethiopia then was also Egypt. And we know that Ethiopia means the land of the blacks. Okay, actually Ethiopia means the land of Ethiops. Okay, and we find that in, again, The Two Babylons by Alexander Hislop. We find that on page 48. And I will quote this for you. Okay, we're talking about Ethiopia now. Quote, "As the Ethiopians were Cushites, so Ethiops was Cush," unquote. I'll say that again. "As the Ethiopians were Cushites, so Ethiops was Cush," unquote. So God called Egypt Ethiopia and Saba. We know that Saba was the son of Cush, okay? And we know that Ethiopians come from Ethiops, who's also called Cush. So if God says that we have biblical and secular, sacred and profane, if you will, testimony that tells us that Egypt was black. Okay? Egypt was black. Egypt was called the land of Ham. Okay? And Ethiopia is Cush, and the Ethiopians are the black people, and they came from Cush. And they were also called Cushites. So isn't it strange that God would send his people always to Ethiopia? I mean, Ethiopia or to Africa? He always did that. He sent them to Egypt. Three times. He sent at least three times. He sent Abraham there. He sent Joseph there. And he sent Jesus there with his stepfather and his mom. Okay? Why would God continue to send his people to Egypt? Is that not funny? Why would God send his chosen people to the land of the blacks? I'm going to tell you that in 1 minute. We're going to take a break, and we come back. I'm going to tell you why God sent his chosen people, Israel, into Egypt, the land of Ham, the land of Ethiopes, the burnt one, when we come back from this break. Welcome back, Saints. As I said before the break, that I was going to tell you why God continued to send his people, why he sent his people into Egypt. Egypt, the land of Ham, okay? The black people. What we're trying to prove here is that God loves the blacks. Remember that the topic of this discussion is, does God hate blacks? We want to prove that God does not hate blacks. We want to prove that, in fact, Satan hates blacks. And the way to do that is to prove that God loves blacks, because we know that Satan hates anything that God loves. So I'm proving that God loves the blacks, okay? What I've done so far is show you that Egypt is the land of the blacks, okay? Egypt actually were black people, even though history tells us different, okay? We've learned different in school, but we know from the Bible that the Egyptians were in fact blacks. Okay, we have biblical testimony and secular testimony from the book The Two Babylons by Alexander Hislop. And he got his information from Josephus, Eusebius, and others. Okay, ancient historians. So the history's there. Okay, the history's there. Egypt was black. Okay, now why would God continue to send his people, his chosen people, into black territory? Why did God do that? I'm going to tell you why. And the answer was going to surprise you. It's going to surprise you. It will. It surprised me when I saw it. Okay? Because we're not taught this. But I'm teaching you now. Okay? Now, we know that we've been told that the Gentiles are everyone that's not Jewish. Is that not right? That's what we've come to believe. That everyone who is not a Jew is a Gentile. But according to the Bible, that's not exactly true. Turn with me, if you will, again to Genesis chapter 10. Okay, now as we know, Genesis chapter 10 starts off giving the generations of Noah. We know that everyone that exists on the world today came from exactly three people, the sons of Noah. Okay, Japheth, okay, Shem, and Ham. We know that. Now we know that the Jewish people came from Shem, okay, the Semitic people, I should say, not just the Jews. The Jews are not the only Semitic people. Semitic comes from Shem, okay? Instead of Shemite, it's Semite. They just took the H out. But we all know that the Jews came from Shem. So we know that Noah's son Shem is the father of the Jews, or the Semitic people, okay? We know that his son Ham is the father of the blacks. Not just the blacks. The blacks actually the Middle Eastern people also, okay? Okay, but Cush is the father of all the blacks. Okay? Now, I'm going to tell you something that's very interesting. Listen to this. Where did the rest of the people come from? I'm going to tell you this in a second. It's going to surprise you. Listen to this. Okay? Now, we know that everyone in the world came from three people. Listen to this. Starting at Genesis chapter 10, verse 1. Now, these are the generations of the son of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And unto them were sons born after the flood. Now, the sons of Japheth, Gomer, and Magog, and Madai, and Javan, and Tubal, and Meshech, and Tiras. Okay? I'll say that again. And the sons of Japheth, Gomer, and Magog, and Madai, and Javan, and Tubal, and Meshech, and Tiras. Okay? Now, listen to this. And the sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz, and Rephath, and Togarmah. Now, Gomer, historians already proved that Gomer, his people are the Germans. German, Gomer, okay? You know, names change. But historians have already proven that many are of the belief that the Germans are descended from Gomer, okay? The Germans are descended from Gomer. And it's also been determined that the Russians are descended from, you know, it says Magog, the sons of Japheth, Magog, okay? And Tubal and Meshech, okay? Magog is supposed to be Russian, according to many. They believe that's Russian. And Meshech, you know, we have Moscow. They say that Moscow is a word declined from Meshech, okay? Meshech, Moscow, okay? Now, listen to what it's going to say after that. Listen to this now. This says, and the sons of Javan, Elisha, and Tarshish, Kittim, and Dodanim. Now, we know that Tarshish is like around Italy, okay? Because we know that Saul came from Tarshish. In the book of Acts, it tells us that Saul came from Tarshish, and Saul was a Roman. He was a Jew, but he was born in Rome. Okay, we know Tarshish is around Italy. Now, listen to what I'm going to tell you next. Listen to chapter 10, verse 5. Listen to this now, because we've come to think that everyone that's not a Jew is a Gentile. But listen to what the Bible says. Chapter 10, verse 5. By these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, everyone after his tongue, after their families, in their nations. I'm going to say that again. By these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, everyone after his tongue, after their families, in their nations. Do you see this? The Gentiles are the Europeans, according to the Bible. I'm not saying this. I'm reading this. This is coming clean from the Bible. Everyone is, technically everyone, the Jews now say that everyone that's not a Jew is a Gentile. But according to the Bible, according to the book of Genesis, the Gentiles are the Europeans. Because I just told you, Japheth is the father of the Europeans. And not probably not just the Europeans, okay? I believe he's also the father of the Asians, okay? Because, you know, we heard the term Eurasian. Okay, many, even the Germans taught that. That even Hitler even taught that. That the Germans were not descended, but akin to the Asian races. That's why Hitler used to make all kind of journeys to Tibet and stuff like that, and to China and stuff like. They were really into Eastern mysticism, things like that. Okay, and they all and the Nazis even said that the German people and the Asian people were descended from the same, had the same heritage, okay? According to the Bible, it's true, okay? According to the Bible, it's true, all right? So it says, by these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, everyone after his tongue, after their families, in their nations. So only the descendants of Japheth are the Gentiles, according to the Bible. Now, if you look at it that way, that means that whoever was not a Gentile, not necessarily a Jew, but I want to explain to you why there was this sort of kinship between the Jews and the blacks. We've already seen that God would send his chosen people into Egypt every time. Okay, we've already seen that. And now we've also seen that the blacks weren't Gentiles, according to the Bible. Okay, because right after it says, right after saying that by these were the isles of the Gentiles divided, then it goes into the sons of Ham and the sons of Ham, and it just goes all the way down. Okay, but they're not called the Gentiles. The only race that are called the Gentiles, okay, were the descendants of Japheth. So that kind of explains something there. I just want you to think about that when you're trying to think about what, and think about that in line of what, in my reasoning here, that God loves blacks, okay? So blacks, according to the Bible, are not Gentiles. They are in the sense that they're not Jews. Those who say that the Jew, anything that's not a Jew is a Gentile, then everyone else is a Gentile. But according to the Bible now, only the Europeans were Gentiles. That's what the Bible says. That's not me. I'm just reading it. I'm not even interpreting it. I can't even, I don't have to even try to interpret this for you. The Bible just says it's point blank. By these were the isles of the Gentiles divided. Okay? And those were the descendants of Japheth. All right? So that's the first proof that God loves blacks. He sent this people into Egypt all the time. And we've already proved that Egypt is the land of Ham. And Ham was called the burnt one. He was black. Okay? Now the second proof is can be found in Amos 9:7. Okay? Turn with me, if you will, to Amos 9:7. Okay? How about I turn there first? And we hear it, Amos 9:7. Sorry it took me so long. I quote, this is God talking now to his people Israel. And I quote, "Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, saith the Lord? Have I not brought up Israel out of the land of Egypt?" Okay? "And the Philistines from Kephor, and the Syrians from Kir." Okay? But we'll concentrate on the first part. "Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel?" Unquote. Did you hear that? He's comparing the Ethiopians, okay, to his people Israel. And as we said, at this time of the writing of the Old Testament, Ethiopia wasn't a country. So they weren't talking about the people from Ethiopia. We're talking about blacks, Cushites, basically, the descendants of Cush. Okay, are the Ethiopians. And as we've already seen, Ethiops was Cush. So the Ethiopians were all the blacks. And what's God saying? He's telling his children Israel, hey, don't I love you guys like I do the blacks? Now that's second proof that God loves blacks. God saying it with his own mouth. That's not an interpretation. That's basically him saying, "Are ye not as a children of the Ethiopians unto me, O Israel?" Okay? So God loves blacks. He just said it. That we're like, that the Jews are like the children of Israel. The children of Ethiopians. Okay? Now, that's the second proof. The third proof is that Moses married a black woman. Okay? God would never let Moses marry a black woman if he had a problem with black people. Now, remember what we're trying to prove here. We're proving, okay, that God loves blacks. That he doesn't hate blacks. Okay? That's the opposite of what a lot of people think. He doesn't hate black. He loves blacks. And another proof of this is that he let Moses, his prophet, marry a black woman. Let's turn to Numbers chapter 12, verse 1. And I quote, "And Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman." Unquote. Okay? He had married an Ethiopian woman, and that means a black woman. Doesn't mean a woman from Ethiopia. It means a black woman, okay? And God was okay with that. And proof that he was okay with that is because, as we see here, Miriam and Aaron, who were brothers, Moses' brother and sister, spoke against Moses for doing this. You know, why are you marrying this black woman? It wasn't because they were racist, okay? It's because they were told, God had told them previously to only marry within themselves, to not marry anyone from the nations. But this is what's very important. God, listen to this now. God had told them not to marry from anyone in the land in which they came into. In other words, not to marry any Canaanites, okay? And why were they not to marry any Canaanites? Because God had cursed them. God had cursed them. We know that back in the book of Noah, from what Ham did, that God cursed Canaan, okay? So that's why God said, do not marry any Canaanite. He didn't say they couldn't marry anybody else, but they took it that way. They took it that way. Because all the Jews ever did was marry outside. They didn't just marry other Jews, okay? Look at Ruth and Boaz, okay? And that's in Jesus' own line, okay? Ruth and Boaz. Okay? Boaz, of course, was Jewish, but Ruth was a Moabite, okay? An idol worshiper. And God was okay with that. God set that up, as a matter of fact. God never had a problem. God had a problem with them marrying the Canaanites because he had cursed the Canaanites. But they took it as don't ever marry anybody else but a Jew. Of course, God wanted them to marry other Jews because he wants his people to stay together. He didn't want them marrying idol worshipers, okay? But if you love God, then it was okay with him. And what do we know about Ruth? When Ruth's mother, Naomi, said, go back when her sons had died, her sons-in-law had died, and Ruth says, I got nothing to offer you now. Go back to your own people. And Ruth says, no, I'm going to go with you. Your God shall be my God. Right then and there, she was okay in God's eyes. Ruth said, your God shall be my God. And right then and there, God said, okay, Ruth is cool. And what happened? He set it up that she married, ended up marrying Naomi's cousin. Okay? So God had no problem with that. So just the fact that God let Moses marry this Ethiopian woman must have meant that she worshiped God. He wouldn't let her marry an idol worshiper. He wouldn't let it happen. So the fact that he let Moses marry a black woman meant that she worshiped God. And I'm going to give you further proof of that. Turn with me, if you will, to Exodus chapter 18. Now we're going to talk about Moses' father-in-law, his wife's father. Okay? Look at this now. Listen to this now. My contention here is that God let Moses marry this black woman because she worshiped God. I'm going to give you proof. Okay, this is Exodus chapter 18. I'm going to start at verse 1. Quote, when Jethro, the priest of Midian, I'm going to say that again. When Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people, and that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt, unquote. Okay? Well, it goes on to say, then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her back. But the part that I wanted you to get is this. Jethro was the priest of Midian. Do you know who Midian was? Midian was a son of Abraham. And of course, Abraham's the father of the Jews and the Christians also. But he's father of the Jews. Now, here is this black man, Jethro. Now, we already know now that Moses' wife is an Ethiopian. So this stands to reason that his father was too. Okay? Her father had to be an Ethiopian also. Okay? Had to be. Because the daughter was black. Father had to be black. Okay? So here is this black man. He's a what? A priest of Midian. Now, I told you that Midian is very important that he was a priest of Midian. Because Midian was a son of Abraham. Okay? And we're going to find that out in, let's turn to Genesis 12, okay? Genesis 12, Genesis chapter 12. I'm going to try to get there as quickly as I can. I really want to keep this under an hour if I can. I don't think I'm going to make it, but I'm going to try. Okay, Genesis 12. Oh, no, that's not what I want to find. Okay, we're at Genesis 25, Genesis chapter 25. Now, we're talking about Jethro. What I want to prove to you now is that Moses' wife, who was a black woman, also worshiped God. And I'm doing this by showing you that her father was a priest of Midian. Okay? Now, Midian was a son of Abraham, as we find in Genesis chapter 25, verse 1. Listen to this. Okay? Verses 1 and 2. And I quote, Then again Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah. And she bare him Zimran, and Yokshan, and Medan, and Midian, and Ishbak, and Shua, unquote. Okay? So here we go again. Listen, look at the solidarity between blacks and the Jews. Okay? Midian are the people. Okay? Midian is a nation. And Midian is actually a nation. It's on the southern border of Israel. Okay? Midian is a country or a nation of people on the southern border of Israel, okay? And so these people are descendants of Abraham by his wife Keturah, okay? That he had after Sarah died. Okay, this is his last wife, as a matter of fact, after Sarah died. So they had a son named Midian, and those people were closely linked to the Israelites because they're a Semitic people also. I told you, the Jews aren't the only Semitic people, okay? Abraham was a Semite, Okay? He was a descendant of Shem. And so his son was Midian, which means that Midian was also a Semite. So which means the people are Semitic also. Okay? So look, now you have this black man who's a priest in the country of Abraham. Okay? Isn't that interesting? Moses, he's a descendant of Moses. Okay? Not a descendant of Moses. What am I trying to say here? There's another link I'm trying to get you to see between the blacks and the Jews. Because God sent Moses to Midian. Don't think for one minute that Moses was just stumbling around and had no idea and no one knew where he was going, even God. God set that up. Okay? God had him go to the land of Midian. Okay? And they were descendants of Abraham. And what? Moses ends up marrying the daughter of the priest. And the priest is who? A black man in Midian as a priest. Okay? Still, we see this link between blacks and Jews. Okay? I'm proving to you now that that God loves blacks. So that's the fourth proof I wanted to give you. Okay? That was the third proof. Okay? Now, the fourth proof is this. God had Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, give Moses advice. Now, I already explained to you that when Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because he married a black woman, that God got mad at them. But I didn't tell you what God did. God struck Miriam, made her a leper, because I guess she must have been the one with the biggest mouth. Okay? And the Bible actually says Miriam and Aaron. So I guess she was the ringleader of this I guess she had a bigger problem than Aaron did about Moses marrying a black woman. And the Bible tells us that God made her a leper because of that. And the reason he did that was this. He said that he spoke to Moses, not like other prophets. He said he spoke to other prophets in dreams and visions. But when he spoke to Moses, he spoke to him face to face. And he said, Moses will see my similitude. In other words, he's going to see my form. And we know that he did that in Exodus chapter 34, when God put Moses in the cleft of the rock and passed by because Moses asked to see his face. God said, you can't see my face, but I'll go by and let you see the back of me so you know what I look like. Okay? And he only did that for Moses. He didn't do that for any other prophet. They would get a word from God in a dream or a vision. That was it. But God talked to Moses face to face. So God was, and then God said what? He said, and you have the nerve to talk to Moses like that? You know, and he struck her as a leper. In other words, what is God trying to say? If I speak to Moses every day face to face and I let him marry a black woman, don't you think it must have been okay with me? It must have been okay with me if I let it happen. And of course, we know it was okay with him. So that's the fourth proof. What was my train of thought here? So, I was trying to tell you that God let this black man give Moses advice, okay? And I had a reason for what I just said. I should never let myself get off track like that. I do it so easily. I have to stay on track, okay? So turn with me again to Exodus chapter 18, okay? Exodus chapter 18. Now, I told you that he gave Moses advice, okay? But first, before we do that, I was trying to prove to you that blacks actually worship God. I was trying to let you know that. And the way I showed you that was that God let Moses marry a black woman. So she had to be a God-fearing woman. And we proved that by proving that her father was a priest in Midian and that Midian was a descendant of Abraham and Abraham worshiped God. Okay? So we're just doing it. It's circuitous in a way, but I'm doing it in a way where we can just keep backtracking and find out, because the Bible doesn't come out and say that his wife worshiped God. But it's a foregone conclusion that if God let Moses marry her, she must have worshiped God. So we proved it by proving that his father worshiped God. But I haven't finished proving that. I'm going to prove it to you again. Okay? Okay? He was a priest of Midian. We know that. But I'm going to show you that he actually worshiped God. Okay? Now let's turn to, we're in Exodus chapter 18. And let's go to verse 8. Now what's happening here is Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, has come to see Moses after the children of Israel have just come out of Egypt. Okay? So it's the first time they haven't seen each other since Moses went in to get them. Okay? Because Moses he gave his kids and his wife to his father-in-law and said, I'll be back. Okay? He said, I'll be back. So that's what he basically said. And then after they brought the children of Israel out of Egypt and Moses' father-in-law heard about it, then he brought him his wife and his kids back. So he's just coming. Okay? We're going to start at chapter, we're going to start at verse 7. Let's start at verse 7. And I quote, "And Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and did obeisance and kissed him. And they asked each other of their welfare. And they came into the tent. And Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done unto Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and all the travail they had come upon them by the way, and how the Lord delivered them." Now listen to this now. This is Jethro, Moses' father-in-law. The next few verses are all about what he's going to do after receiving the news about what God did for the Jews. "And Jethro rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Jethro said, Blessed be the Lord." That's very important. We're going to come back to that later. "Jethro said, Blessed be the Lord, who had delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of Pharaoh, who had delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods." This is Jethro saying this now, this black man, his Moses' father-in-law. "Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods." We're going to return to that in a bit. "For in the thing wherein they dealt proudly, he was above them." Okay? Listen to this last sentence, very important. "And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and sacrifices for God. And Aaron came, and all the elders of Israel, to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God." Unquote. Okay? Jethro's father-in-law was a God-fearing man. Okay? He's a God-fearing man. Okay? So, yes, God loved the blacks. And the reason why was because they worshiped God at this point. At this time, they were worshiping God. Okay? We'll talk about it later. They fell into idolatry, of course. But at this time, they worshiped God. And we've already proven that. Okay? We've proven it even before then because God kept sending his people into Egypt. Okay? Now, if they were idolaters at that time, now think about this because it's very important. If they were idolaters at that time, would God keep sending his people there? No, he would not. At that time, they were not worshiping idols. They were worshiping God. Okay? They had to be. God would not send his people there to get negatively influenced. Okay? They were worshiping God at this point. Okay? That's why he sent Abraham there. That's why he sent Joseph there. That's why the Pharaoh made Joseph the head man, basically the prime minister. Okay? Okay? Because the Jews and the blacks were okay. And they were okay with Joseph's God. Which is why when Pharaoh had the dream, Joseph came and interpreted it for him. Pharaoh was okay with that. Okay? They knew who God was. They knew who he was. Okay? So that's further proof that God loves blacks. Okay? That Moses, because his father-in-law actually worshiped God at that point. Now I'm going to give you another proof, okay? I'm going to give you another proof. And that proof is that God let this same black man, the next proof is that Jethro, the father-in-law we just talked about, he fellowshiped with the Jews, okay? Because what did we just say? Listen to this again. This is verse 12, okay? "And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and sacrifices to God, for God. And Aaron came and all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God." The Jews fellowship with Jethro, this black man, okay? God would never let, listen to this, because it's very important, listen. God would never let his people fellowship with an idolater. Because he had already told them, "When I bring you into the land of Canaan, I don't want you doing anything you see these people do." He told them that. Don't break bread with them. Don't do anything with them. Leave them alone. They worship other gods. I'm going to get rid of them. I'm going to drive them away from here. Okay? And we know that he says in Deuteronomy chapter 18, he tells them all the bad things that they do. And he said, "And for these things, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee." Okay? Now, if Moses' father-in-law, this black man, was one of them, it's no way, A, that he would let Moses marry into that stuff, B, that he would let Jethro fellowship with his people. So that already proves they worship the same God. And besides the fact that Jethro, out of his own mouth, says, okay, "Now I know that God is greater than all gods," okay? So they worship God. So yes, black people were beloved and still are beloved. Remember, God says that he does not repent. Okay. The Bible says that he is not a man that he should repent. Okay. Okay. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Okay. So God, when God says something, if you're cool with him today, you're cool with him tomorrow. So God, if the blacks were God's people then, they are God's people now. But I'm going to show you in a little bit why they've gone through such a hard time. Okay. Why Satan hates them so. And I told you I'm doing that by showing you one reason why Satan hates them so is because they love God. Okay. But there's another reason why Satan hates them so. But the first thing I want to prove to you was that the blacks love God. So that's why God loved them. Okay. And I've already proven that to you. Now I'm going to show you, I'm going to prove to you why it is that Satan hates blacks. Okay. It's very simple. But I see I'm coming up on the hour. I'm going to go over a little bit, but I'm going to make it as quick as I can. So what we'll do now is take a break, and we'll be right back after this short pause. Okay, we're back. As we said before the break, I'm going to now tell you what specific incident caused Satan to hate the blacks. Okay, I told you everything's in the Bible. I truly believe that. That's why God gave us his book. Okay, not just so we can read it and say and go ooh and ah and wow. No. Okay, no, there are things in there that will make you go ooh, ah, and wow. Okay, but God gave us this book because basically everything that's going on in the world is in this book. But you got to be able to understand this book. You have to have your spirit right with God so you can open your eyes to these things. Because they're in the book, okay? But you got to want to know the truth. If you don't want to know the truth, don't even pick the Bible up. It's a waste of time. It is a waste of time. The Bible is called the Word of God, okay? And the Word of God is another name for Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is what? The truth, the way, and the life. Okay? So this Bible, this book, is truth. If you don't want to know the truth, don't even pick up the Bible. It's a waste of time. All you're going to see is things there that's going to make you mad. Things that are going to make you upset. So you shouldn't even pick it up. But if you want to know the truth, then if you're not picking up a Bible, then you're wrong. Because you're not going to find out what the truth is unless you read this book. It's in here. That's why Satan hates it. He doesn't want us to read these things. These things that I'm telling you right now, you think Satan wants you to know these things? Of course he doesn't. Of course he doesn't. Why? Because it goes against everything that he's teaching us in school. It goes against everything he's teaching us in his churches. It goes against everything he's teaching us out of Hollywood. It goes against everything. Okay? It goes against what the world is teaching us. Satan hates this book. He hates it. He doesn't want you to know these things. So if you want to know the truth, you need to pick this book up and find out what the truth is. Now, as we were saying before the break, I told you that there is one reason why Satan hates blacks. There's a reason. He didn't always hate blacks. Okay? Now, I've already told you that Cush was a black man. Okay? Did you know that the first king of Babylon was a black man, Nimrod? Well, he was. It tells us that in Genesis chapter 8. Okay? I'm sorry, Genesis chapter 10, verse 8. And Cush begot Nimrod. He became a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord, unquote. Okay? Cush begot Nimrod. We already proved that Cush was Ethiops. Ethiops was a black man. Cush begot Nimrod. Nimrod was a black man. Nimrod was the first king of Babylon. Tells us that in the Bible. I'll turn to that. Well, I won't turn to that. You turn to that yourself. At your own leisure, it's a Genesis chapter 10. Start at verse 8 and keep reading, and you will see that he went out and he built Babel. Okay? Babel was the first name of Babylon. Okay? So, the first king of the world was a black man, okay? But he wasn't a good man. He wasn't God's man. He hated God. As a matter of fact, his name was Nimrod, but Nimrod, the word Nimrod comes from a Jewish word, Marad, okay? The root Marad, okay? And what does it mean? It means he rebelled. That's what it means, okay? And the Jewish encyclopedia says about Nimrod, quote, what does it say about him? What does it say about the Jewish encyclopedia says what? He caused all the people to rebel against God. Basically, it's what the Jewish encyclopedia says about Nimrod. He who made all the, there it is. He who made all the people rebel against God. Okay, Nimrod was a rebel. He was like Satan, and he worshipped Satan, and he practiced child sacrifice. So he was a king, but he wasn't a godly man. Okay, that means he was the devil's man. Listen to this closely. Okay. I'm telling you, the devil hates blacks. That's why blacks have had such a hard time. But I'm telling you that also, he didn't always hate blacks. Nimrod was his man. Okay? Now, Nimrod was killed later. And the Jews were slaves in Egypt. And Pharaoh tried to break them, tried to kill all their kids. Remember? He told all the midwives to kill all the babies. Remember that? So he wouldn't have any more babies. Pharaoh hated the Jews. Why? Because he was Satan's man. So here you go. And we already told you that Egypt was black. Okay? This land of Ham. Ham was black. So you have Nimrod, a great and powerful leader, black. Satan loved him. He hated God. You have Pharaoh, also hated God. Okay? We know he hated God because when they were doing all the miracles, when Moses would do a miracle, Pharaoh's magicians would also do it. And they could duplicate everything, but they couldn't duplicate one miracle. And that was when God turned all the Moses through God through Moses, I should say, turned the dust, the very dirt of the ground, turned into lice. And the Bible says it became lice in man and beast. Everybody had lice. And what? The magicians tried to do it also, and they could not. What did the magician say? This is the finger of God. That's what the magician said. This is the finger of God. They knew it was God that did. We can't duplicate this. Satan can't do this. This is God. And what did it say next? But Pharaoh's heart was hardened. He hated God. Okay? So Pharaoh and Nimrod were Satan's people. Okay? So Satan had no problem with blacks back in those days. He kept putting up black people to do his work. Then what happened to make him turn against blacks? Because it is no question that Satan hates blacks. If you haven't figured that out, you must be from another planet. If you're from Earth, you know that Satan hates blacks. Okay? And I've already proven it one way by proving that God loves blacks. But I'm going to prove to you, I'm going to give you a specific incident that actually shows where Satan started hating blacks. And let's go again to Exodus chapter 18. Now we know this is basically the person that figures most prominently in Exodus chapter 18, ironically, is a black man. It's all about this black man, what he's doing. Because listen to it now. To show you that it's all about this black man, is it starts off talking about Jethro, and it ends talking about Jethro. Look at the first sentence. When Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, starts off that way. Look at the last sentence of chapter 18. And Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way into his own land. Chapter 18 is all about Jethro, a black man. Okay, so let's see what Jethro's done. We already knew that he worshiped God. We already heard that. What else is he doing? I'm going to show you. Now, the day after Moses' father-in-law gets there, the day after Jethro gets to where Moses is encamped with the Israelites, he sees a curious thing. And I'm going to tell you what that thing is. Let's start at Exodus chapter 18, verse 13. I'm reading now, and I quote, "And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from the morning until the evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, 'What is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning until evening?' And Moses said unto his father-in-law, 'Because the people come unto me to inquire of God. And when they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws. And Moses' father-in-law said, and this is very important, so I want you to listen, because this is the last reason, okay? Well, I shouldn't say the last, this is the fifth reason, okay? Why I'm proving that God loves blacks, okay? And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, the thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away, both thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it alone. Okay? Listen to that. He said, you can't do this by yourself. And he continues, listen what he says. Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And he goes on to give him the advice, okay? He tells them how to organize themselves, okay? He tells them how to organize them. Well, I'll go ahead and read it. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be, this is important, to be rulers of thousands, and rulers of hundreds, and rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. Okay? So he breaks them down. They were coming to Moses as a big gaggle. And Jethro says, no, you break them down into groups. Okay? First, break them down into groups of thousands, hundreds. He said, put rulers over them. Rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And I continue. And let them judge the people at all seasons, and it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee. But every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people shall also go in their place in peace. Unquote. Okay? And it says next that Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. Okay? So they were coming to Moses as a, they were a huge group of people. You know, the book, it tells us back in chapter 12 that the Israelites numbered, okay, more than 600,000 men without the children. 600,000 men. So if you take the wives and children, easily now, and I'm being very, very conservative, they were at least 1 million people. And that's being very conservative, okay? At least 1 million. And imagine, they're standing in front of Moses from morning until the evening, and he's hearing all their problems, see? You can't do that. That's just too many people. Psychologists, professional psychiatrists and counselors don't see more than probably 10 people a day. Why? Because their problems will become your problems. Stress will break you. It'll break you down to listen to all these problems all day. And Moses was doing this every single day for millions of people. See, Satan was trying to kill Moses. Okay? That's what's going on here. Satan was trying to destroy Moses because he knew that if he took away their leader, that the people would be running around. Now, see, Satan doesn't know God. See, that's how you know Satan is a madman. He's not going to stop because he knows that God's going to stop him. He's going to do what he's going to do anyway. He knew doggone well that the Jews were God's people. He knew that God was going to stop him. Did that stop Satan from trying? Nope. Does it stop him from trying now? Nope. Okay? Satan said, I'm going to kill Moses with stress, and then these people would be wandering in the desert without a leader. Okay? But God had a plan. See, he sent Jethro there to talk to Moses. See, Jethro came there with a two-pronged mission, didn't even know it. He thought he was just coming to bring Moses' family. Ended up giving him some advice. And that advice was very important. I'll tell you why. He broke them down into groups of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Do you know what that sounds like? And what did God call his people when they were in Egypt? Do you remember? He called them armies. They didn't even know they were an army. But that's what he called them. He told them, you will go into Egypt and bring my army out. God already had plans for them. And he used Jethro to help set it up. They couldn't go into battle as a big gaggle, could they? A big crowd, could they? they had to go in ranks and groups, like an army goes in a group. An army goes into war with battalions. I mean, with brigades and battalions and companies and platoons and squads. Do you know that that is exactly how Jethro set them up? Remember, it says he sets them up first as thousands. There are thousands of people in a brigade. Then he set them up as hundreds. There are hundreds of people in a battalion. Then he sets them up as 50s. There are 50s of people in a company. Then he set them up as tens. There are tens of people in platoons. Do you get it? And in a platoon, do you get it? Jethro set them up as an army. That is so heavy duty. Jethro, this black man now, set up the Jews as an army. And what did the Jews do right after that? They went to battle. God sent them into Canaan, and what they do? They went straight to battle. And they were already ready because Jethro had already set them up. Do you see now how God loves blacks? God, I just read for you how God talked to Moses face to face. God could have given Moses this advice himself. Why did he let the black man do it? Because he wanted them to be one, in solidarity. There's always been this solidarity between the Jews and the blacks, according to the Bible. We've already seen it, okay? We've already seen it. And they worship God also, okay? There's always been a solidarity there. So God let Jethro, this black man, give Moses this advice. And he basically set them up as an army. And it's ironic because God had called them when they were still in Egypt, my armies. He already knew what he was going to do with Jethro. And he let Jethro set it up. Isn't that something? Now, would God let a black man do that if God hated blacks? Of course not. Proof again that God does not love blacks. But what's more important about this, what I just read to you, is this. Satan tried to kill the Jews. Tried to kill Moses first with stress and kill the Jews at the same time. Could they be wandering around without a leader? But what happened? Jethro came and gave Moses that advice because what did he say? You only hear the big problems, but all the little small stuff, you let them deal with that. If they can't handle it, they bring it to you. And it worked, okay? We use that in the army. It's called a chain of command. Think about it now. This black man gave this advice, and it's being used right now, today, okay? In the army, we call it a chain of command. You don't go to the company commander and talk to him. Well, let's put it like this. You don't go to the brigade commander with your problem. Who do you go to? You go to your squad leader. Squad leader goes to the platoon leader. Platoon leader goes to the company commander. Company commander goes to the battalion commander. Battalion commander goes to the brigade commander. It goes up like that. Who set that up? Jethro, because he said rulers over thousands. Rulers, the ruler is the commander. Rulers over thousands. Rulers over hundreds. Rulers over 50s. Rulers over tens. Jethro, this black man, this Ethiopian, set up the system that the army uses today. When I saw that, it blew my mind. Today, we use it. Only a military man can understand that. And I'm a military man, and I understand that. Okay? You don't bring your small problem straight to the first sergeant. You go to your company, you go to your platoon sergeant. Or you go to your squad leader if you're, if you're lower rank. And Jethro set that up. Okay? Don't you think that Satan would hate Jethro after that? Of course he would. This is what turned the tide. Because Nimrod was Satan's man. Pharaoh was Satan's man, but Jethro was God's man, okay? And he's the first God's man that's black that we know about in the Bible, okay? And right after that, you never hear anything about any other black man working for Satan, okay? And what we know now in history is all the things that have been done to blacks. I'm proving to you now that it's because God loves blacks. And if God loves blacks, then Satan's going to hate him. And I've just given you all this proof that God loves them, okay? Now I'm going to give you one more proof, and this comes out of the book of Acts, chapter 8, and we're going to talk about it briefly. It's when the Ethiopian eunuch, okay, when Philip, it's the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch, when the Ethiopian eunuch got converted to Christianity. We all know about it, okay? We all know about Acts chapter 8. It's pretty famous because it's the only place in the Bible where we hear someone confessing Jesus Christ as Lord before they get baptized, okay? A lot of people say you can get baptized as a baby. Other people say this, other people say that. But this is the only place in the Bible where it tells us that you have to confess Jesus Christ and know him and hear the gospel in order for you to get saved. Okay? And that's in chapter 8. Now, we're going to talk about that in a minute. I'm going to talk about it right now, but we all know that. Okay? We all know that in chapter 8. But we'll start out, we hit it briefly. Okay? Okay? Start at Acts chapter 8, and we'll start at verse 26. Okay? Now, to set this up, Stephen has been stoned. Okay? So now the Jews are all looking for every Christian they can find and get their hands on so they can kill him. So they've gone, you know, God sends them out to the four winds. The Jews are actually looking for the Christians to kill them, to persecute them. And the only ones that actually stayed there in Jerusalem were the apostles. The apostles stayed. Peter stayed in Jerusalem, okay? James stayed. We all know that from Paul's letters. When he wrote, he's talking about James, and he's also talking about Peter, okay? They stayed in Jerusalem, and the Bible even says that the apostles stayed, but everybody else, they went to the four winds, okay? I'm not going to go all into that right now, but it happened right after Stephen got, stoned. And I'll prove it. If you go to, it's chapter 8, let's go to chapter 1. I'm proving to you now that the apostles stayed in Jerusalem, including Peter, that they stayed in Jerusalem, they didn't leave. Okay? Acts chapter 8, verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death, talking about Stephen, because they just stoned Stephen. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. So the apostles stayed. They never left Jerusalem. They stayed. Other disciples left, but the apostles, okay, stayed at Jerusalem. That's key for other things. So you keep that in your mind. The apostles stayed at Jerusalem, including Peter, including James. They all stayed, but everybody else left. Okay, so now let's go to verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Okay? So we know what happens after that. Philip preaches Jesus to the eunuch and he gets baptized. Okay? We're going to talk about that later. But this is all I wanted to show you was that the final proof, because I offered you six proofs that God loves blacks. Okay? And the last proof is that the Holy Spirit specifically told Philip to go and talk to this eunuch. Okay? Okay? Oh, I didn't read that part. I'll say it now. I'm sorry. And it's in verse 29. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. Unquote. Okay? So the Holy Spirit specifically told Philip, go talk to this Ethiopian guy. This is God orchestrating this, okay? So if God hated blacks, why would he make sure they got the gospel? So that's proof that God loves blacks. Remember, we're trying to prove that God does not hate blacks. And in order to prove that God hates blacks, I'm telling you that God does not hate blacks, but it's Satan that hates blacks. And the way we're proving that Satan hates blacks is by proving that God loves blacks. And our final proof is the fact that the Holy Spirit, which is God, specifically told Philip, go near and draw thyself to this chariot. Go and talk to this Ethiopian guy. Okay? So that's six proofs that I've given you that blacks love God. I mean, that God loves blacks. Okay? And I've already proven you also that I want to give you two proofs that blacks also love God. Because I'm still trying to prove to you now that Satan hates blacks. Okay? Now, my first reasoning that Satan hates blacks is that Satan hates anything that God loves. So if God loves blacks, then Satan hates blacks. And I've just proven to you, I've given you six proofs from the Bible that that God loves blacks. So Satan's going to hate him. Now, anybody that loves God, Satan's also going to hate. Okay, Satan's going to hate anything that God loves, and Satan's going to hate anyone that loves God. So I'm going to give you two proofs that that blacks love God. The first one I already gave you. It's back in Exodus chapter 18, when we see Jethro actually worshiping God, okay? That's the first proof that blacks love God. At least this black did, okay? But further proof of that, okay, in case you say think that it was just Jethro, an isolated incident, is this same eunuch. Why? Let me tell you why. Look at what it says about the eunuch, okay? Now, we already read where it says that Philip ran into the Ethiopian eunuch who had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Look at what it says. He came to Jerusalem for to worship. You know, in Jerusalem, they only worship one God, and that's God, Jehovah, Yahweh, okay? He didn't know Jesus then. Well, he didn't know God as Jesus, I should say. He only knew him as Jehovah, okay? Because it says he was coming to Jerusalem to worship. Now, in case you may think that he had never worshiped before and this was his first time, it tells us in the very next verse, in verse 28, that he was sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. Okay? And that's out of the Old Testament. So what was this Ethiopian doing? He was reading the Bible. Okay? He was reading the Old Testament. He was reading out of the Old Testament book of Isaiah. So that's the second proof that that blacks love God. They worship God. So if Satan hates anything that God loves, he also conversely hates anything that loves God. So that's another reason why Satan hates blacks. Okay? Because Jethro, the first black we read about in the Bible, worshiped God. Then the second black person that we read about in the Bible is this Ethiopian eunuch, and what's he doing? He's going to Jerusalem to worship God also. Okay? So that's the second reason why Satan hates blacks, okay? Because God loves them, and two, because they love him. All right? Okay? Now, so that's the reason I want to give you that God loves black people. I mean, that it's not that God hates blacks. He can't hate blacks, okay? There's just too much biblical proof to the contrary, okay? He loves blacks, okay? And blacks at one time loved him. Blacks still do love him. But as a race, all blacks loved him at one point, okay? That's no longer true. But it was back in those days, okay? Now, I want to show you something else, because not only is this program about, I mean, we talk about the Bible here, you know that. Okay, not only is it important that you know that God does not love, that God does not hate blacks, that in fact it's Satan that hates blacks, and actually God loves blacks. I want to also show you the importance of blacks in biblical history, because blacks have a huge, huge part in biblical history, and a lot of people don't know about it. Okay, we've talked about it, but we haven't gone in depth. Once we go in depth, you're going to really understand why that blacks played a huge, huge role in biblical history. And that's actually another reason why Satan hates blacks, because God keeps using them. Okay? God keeps using them. All right? He keeps using them. He used them first to help out Moses and the Jews. Okay? But there are other things that they did also, and we're going to talk about that, okay? Now, we're talking about the importance of blacks in biblical history, okay? The first thing is this. Understand that the first king of the world, the first king mentioned in the Bible, is black. We're in Genesis chapter 10. And the very first king that's ever mentioned is black, and that's Nimrod, okay? Because he created a kingdom, okay? Babylon was a kingdom, and all the little things that came in it, okay, was a kingdom. And that first king was Nimrod. And we'll go to, let's turn to that so we can read that, so you can understand that, okay? God is fair. That's what I love about him, okay? Okay, Nimrod was not a godly man, but God still put him in his Bible. He wants us to know, okay? He wants us to know, you know, the good and the bad and the ugly. Okay, now listen to this now. Now we already know that Nimrod was a black man, because we've already talked that Cush was black. Okay, Ham was black, Cush was black, and the Bible says that Cush begot Nimrod. I'm going to start again where it says Cush begot Nimrod. I'm going to keep reading so that you can understand that Nimrod was a king because he had a kingdom. Listen to this. We're at Genesis chapter 10, verse 8. And Cush begot Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and Erech, and Akkad, and Calneh in the land of Shinar. Unquote. The beginning of Nimrod's kingdom was at Babel. So he was a king. And we already know that because he was also known in the Bible as Moloch. And Moloch is a Jewish, well, it's actually a Chaldean word that's translated means king. So Nimrod is the first king mentioned in the Bible, and his kingdom of Babel, or Babylon, is the first kingdom mentioned in the Bible. And Nimrod was black. So this is not a good history, because Nimrod was not a godly man. He was an evil man. But he is mentioned in the Bible. And the Bible proves he was the very first king. And that's very important. That's a great role in biblical history, okay? And he was a black man. So that's one significance of the black race in the Bible. Two, and we talked about this in Exodus chapter 18, the fact that Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, worshiped God. He was actually the first person other than a Jew to worship God in the Bible. Did you know that? I want you to go back and read your Bible from the very first, from Genesis chapter 1, all the way up to Exodus chapter 18, and you will see that Jethro was the very first non-Jew to worship God. Okay? The very first that's mentioned in the Bible, I should say. I don't know if he's the first one. He's the first one mentioned in the Bible. We're going to talk about that further, but as you can see, I'm going over now. But what I like about this discussion is I haven't put in a lot of extra information, and we've only talked about the important things, and we've still gone over. I don't want to make this a two-part series. So we're going to go over just a little bit, but it's all going to be stuff you need to know. So we're going to take a break right now. We're going to come back in a couple of minutes. I'm going to tell you more about the role that Jethro played in biblical history. Had to do is admit the truth. The reason I missed you was on me. Seemed okay at the time, but now I find it wasn't worth it. It wasn't worth it. Show me your face. Need to see you clearly. No more mistakes. Look at all the time. Okay, we're back. Now as we said before the break, what we're doing now is we're showing the significance of the black race in biblical history. And as I said before, the purpose of this program, okay, is because there are a lot of blacks who think that Christianity is not fair to blacks, okay? They actually think that God hates blacks. I mean, I've heard this a few times, okay? And I'm hearing it now. I've heard it as recently as a couple of weeks ago, okay? So there are blacks that feel that God hates them just because of everything that blacks have gone through throughout history, okay? And that's a fair statement to make, okay? If you've been told that God is a loving God, yet you see that you're constantly being persecuted one way or the other, for one reason or the other, you gotta be wondering, okay, what's up with this all-loving God if black people keep suffering, okay? And what's up with that, okay? So what I'm trying to do is explain to those blacks and those whites who may have asked that same question, I'm trying to show you that it has a biblical origin, that the reason is not because God hates blacks, it's because Satan hates blacks. And actually, to be honest, it's because God loves blacks that Satan hates blacks. But it's not only, as we have seen, it's not only because God loves blacks that Satan hates blacks. It's actually because the first black mentioned in the Bible did something that Satan didn't like. Okay? So Satan had another reason to hate him, a specific reason, which is even worse than the first reason, okay, as far as Satan is concerned. See, he hates the Jews. So if Satan is trying to destroy the Jews and blacks are helping them, then of course Satan's going to hate them too. almost as much as he hates the Jews. And it just makes sense. If God says he loves the blacks like he loves the Jews, then Satan's going to hate the blacks like he hates the Jews. It only makes sense. Okay? But what we're trying to show you right now, what I'm trying to show you now, is how the roles that blacks played in the Bible. Now, we already showed you that Nimrod, the first king, was a black man. Okay? Now, I'm going to show you that blacks were the first people to worship and to bless God besides the Jews. And we already talked about that. We go back to Exodus chapter 18. We hear the first person that actually blessed God was Jethro. It's pretty good. Okay? What did Jethro say? He blessed God. Listen to what he says. This is Exodus chapter 18, verse 10. Listen to what Jethro says. Listen to what it says. And Jethro said, "Blessed be the Lord." He's the first person, the first non-Jew, to actually bless God. Now, if you bless God, what's God going to turn around and do? He's going to bless you. It just makes sense. He already says he's going to do that. You bless God, God's going to bless you. I'm a witness. You bless God, God's going to bless you. Okay? And we already know that he did bless. We know that he blessed the blacks, because we read back in the book of Acts, as we talked about a little while ago, where Philip ran into the Ethiopian eunuch. What does it say? A eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure. So this woman was rich. The Ethiopians were a rich, prosperous nation. Okay? God blessed them. Why? Because they blessed God first. Okay? Jethro blessed God. It says right here. Then what did he say? He said, "Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods." He put God high. He put God above everything else. He put God above everything and everyone else. This black man did this. Okay? And he's the first person in the Bible, other than the Jews, to do it. So that's another first. The first people to bless God and to say he's higher than all gods was a black man. Okay? Listen to this. The first non-Jew to first bless God was black. To second put him higher than all other gods was black. Now look at this. The third to even worship God. Because we read that we read down in verse 12. And what does it say? And I'll say it again. Quote, "And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and sacrifices for God." So that's the fourth. They blessed the blacks, blessed them first. A black man blessed God first, praised him as higher than all other gods, okay? Sacrifice, and now he sacrificed to him. First, and back in those days, sacrifice was a form of worship. So he worshiped God, okay? Now I'm going to give you a fourth. Look at this. It's in the same verse, verse 12. And what does it say? "And Aaron came, and all the elders of Israel, to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God," unquote. So that's the fourth thing. They broke bread. He was the first non-Jew, the first Gentile, if you will, okay, in the technical sense, because I've already shown you that according to the Bible, the blacks aren't Gentiles, okay? But in the technical sense, everything other than a Jew is a Gentile, then this black man was the first Gentile to fellowship with the Jews, and he was black. Because breaking bread, okay, was an act of fellowship. And we know that because it says he what? Broke bread before God. Okay? They ate bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. This was an act of worship. Okay? So that's the fourth thing. Okay? So the blacks were what? First, the first to bless God besides the Jews. Okay? The first to say he's higher than all gods. To recognize him as the one true God. Okay? The first to worship him, sacrifice to him, besides the Jews, I'm saying now. And now, the first to fellowship with the Jews before God. Okay? Isn't that something? But there's something more that you have to understand. This is another first. Okay? We know that in the Old Testament, everything sacred in the Old Testament points to Jesus. We all know that. Okay? Jesus says, "I come not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it." All the types that we see in the Old Testament all point to Jesus. Something about him, either his death or resurrection, his birth, something about Jesus, okay? So, do you know that this act of eating bread before God pointed to Jesus also? How, you may ask? What do we do at the Lord's Supper? What do? We break bread. We eat bread before God. Okay? To recognize Jesus' his death, his crucifixion. Do we not? Of course we do. Okay? God doesn't do anything by accident. We already know that. So this act, as simple as it may seem, is heavy duty. Why? Because Jethro is a non-Jew, a Gentile, if you will. And who eats the Lord's Supper now? Jews and Gentiles who are Christians. So this act of breaking bread is actually a picture of the Christian church, because you have the Jews and the Gentiles and a Gentile eating bread together before God. This makes Jethro the first spiritual Jew. Do you get that? Another first, and it's a black man doing it. He's the first spiritual Jew. Okay? Because anyone that worshiped God, you couldn't have been a real Jew, because you're not, I mean, Jethro couldn't have been, he was not an Israelite. So he was not a real Jew, but he worshiped God. So he's a spiritual Jew. The Bible says in the book of Romans that Christians are spiritual Jews because we worship God. Okay? But we're not Jews. We worship Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is God. And we know that from John 1:1. We know that from John 8:58. Okay? We know that from John 10, and from John chapter 10. Just too many verses to show that Jesus Christ is God. Okay? So we're spiritual Jews. But this was the first spiritual Jew, because he worshiped God, yet he was not a Jew. Isn't that something? Another first, and it was a black man doing it. Very important. Do you see the role that blacks played in biblical history? It's a huge role. Don't you think that if blacks played such a huge role, that Satan would not be very happy about that? Of course not. Of course he wouldn't like that. That's another reason why he hates us, okay? And I already told you what? Jethro organized the first army. Okay, he was the first one to organize an army. Okay, just by giving Moses that advice. It's being used right now. I already explained that to you. Another first. The first person to organize an army was Jethro, a black man. Okay? Now, what's another first? We read in the book of Acts, chapter 8, what does it say about the eunuch? He was reading the book of Isaiah. So the first, he's the only person, if you think about it, the only I know about that he's the only one, the only non-Jew in the Bible that you read, you see actually reading the Bible. Okay, I mean, not quoting it, reading it, because we hear all through the Bible, Paul in his letters, he goes back and he quotes things that were said in the Old Testament. So does Peter. They all quote things from the Old Testament. But you only hear about two people actually reading the Bible that I know about. We know about Jesus. In the book of Luke, we know about Jesus says that when he first read out of the Old Testament, he told them that this prophecy is being fulfilled before your ears. In other words, that he was the Messiah. And they got really mad, remember? And they took him out and wanted to throw him off the cliff. We hear about Jesus reading the Bible. Now think about this now, because we hear about things being quoted from the Bible in the New Testament. But we don't hear about anybody actually reading the Bible. We hear about Jesus reading from the Bible when he's standing in front of the Jews and he says, "Hey, I'm the Messiah." Then what? We hear about this Ethiopian, this black man, and what is he doing? Reading from the book of Isaiah, just like Jesus was doing. Do you understand God's love for blacks? Do you understand the huge role blacks play in the Bible? This black man is the only other person besides Jesus that I know about. I don't know this whole Bible, but the only one that I've read so far besides Jesus that actually is being seen reading the Bible, not quoting it, reading it, and it's this Ethiopian. Huge, huge role for you guys listening to this. Huge role that blacks play in biblical history. Okay, now the last thing that I want to tell you, another huge role, it's going back to the same eunuch again, the same Ethiopian eunuch again in the book of Acts. What is he doing? Okay, in the book of Acts in chapter 8, what is this eunuch doing? He confesses Jesus Christ as Lord before he gets baptized. Okay, because we read, okay, that Philip opened his mouth and he preached the scriptures to the eunuch. Okay, we'll start at verse 35. We're in Acts chapter 8, verse 35. Quote, "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me? In other words, what's keeping me back to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Now listen to this. And he, the eunuch, and he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Unquote. The only place in the Bible where you hear about somebody confessing Jesus Christ and then getting baptized, you just heard it. Okay? Acts chapter 8. And who's doing it? A black man is doing it. Now, would God let this man represent him like that if he hated blacks? No, he would not. Do you see then, if God allowed a black man to be the one and only example of this in the Bible, he must love blacks. Can you see that? Common sense would tell you the answer is Y-E-S, yes. Okay? And that's a huge role, because right now that's a big debate. Okay? When are you really saved? What is baptism really all about? People have so many different ideas. Okay? But the Bible tells us that we shouldn't get baptized unless we hear the gospel first, and we know that this eunuch heard it, because it said that Philip opened his mouth and he preached unto him Jesus. Okay? And then the eunuch asked him, what's keep me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe, you can be baptized. And he turned around and confessed it. Okay? And this is a black man doing this. This was heavy duty. This answers all the questions and all the debates. That's why this scripture is not brought up much, because it puts a lot of these arguments to rest. Okay? You have to know Jesus. You have to hear the gospel. You have to confess him. Then you get baptized. You don't hear this scripture often because it puts all those arguments to rest. You can't gainsay it if you believe the Bible. Okay? And God let a black man say these things. You see, God loves blacks. Okay? Blacks in biblical history play a major, major role. They play a major role. Okay? They play a major role. And not only that, okay? As I told you before, we're not just about scripture here. We're about scripture, but we're also about dispelling myths and rumors and lies. Okay? That's what we're about here. Okay? Now, history tells us that before the missionaries got to Africa, that the blacks were pagans, okay? But I want to tell you something very, very important that you probably didn't think about, but it's true. If you look in the Bible, every other people, okay, to whom the gospel went, they were pagans. We read about that all through the book of Acts. Everywhere they went, they're worshiping idols, okay? Okay, when Ruth started worshiping God, she was a Moabitess. Okay, she worshipped, and the Moabites worshipped. What was the name of their god? The abomination of Moab, of the children of Moab. What was the name? Well, anyway, they worshipped Nimrod and Semiramis under another name. Okay, so they worshipped Nimrod and Semiramis under another name. The Moabites did. Okay. So they were pagans. Okay. Then it says, if you look in the book of Acts, when the book of Ephesians, okay, it's named for the church of Ephesus, okay? And we read that when Paul got there, they were mad at Paul. Why? Because they worshiped the goddess Diana. And they said that this guy Paul is preaching and saying that we shouldn't be worshiping this guy. He's going to destroy our business, okay? What man here doesn't know that Diana is worshiped all in Asia and all the world, okay? They were pagans. Okay, this is Ephesus. It's around Greece. Okay, we know that the gospel went to Rome because Paul took it there. The Romans worshipped several gods. Caesar himself was considered a god. Plus, they worshipped Sol Invictus, the unconquerable god, the unconquerable sun. Okay, every place the gospel went, the people were pagans. But when the gospel went to this Ethiopian, what was he doing when the gospel got to him? He was reading from the book of Isaiah. He was already a believer in God. He just didn't know anything about Jesus. See, every place else where the gospel went, there were pagans. They didn't even know God, let alone Jesus Christ. But when the gospel went to this Ethiopian, he already knew God. Very, 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 very important. He already knew God. Okay, he wasn't a pagan. But history tells us that before the missionaries got to Africa, they were all pagans. But this shows that that was not true. Do you understand why Satan hates this Bible? Because what he's teaching us is contrary to the Bible. There is no way that you can take the Bible and stand it up to a history book and say, I agree with them both. One of them is going to be a liar and one of them is going to be the truth. Now, my Bible tells me, let God be true and every man a liar. So guess who's lying? Okay? Guess who's lying? Or should I say, who are you going to decide is telling the truth? Okay? I decide that my God is. Okay? My Bible says that God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Okay? I'd rather stick with somebody that's not going to tell me a lie. Okay? So we're about dispelling myths around here also, okay? So that's a myth. The Africans were not a bunch of pagan bushwhackers before the missionaries got there. It's not true. Some were, but not all, okay? But you're not going to hear about the ones that were not, okay? Of course not. Satan doesn't want you to know that, okay? Now, I want to talk about this Ethiopian again because there's a very big point that I want you to understand. It's a huge point. It's important that you understand that. Now, the book of Acts tells us that this Ethiopian was reading from the Bible. It's important to understand because what? If he was reading the Bible in Hebrew, that means he spoke Hebrew. That's pretty good. That means he was an educated man. Plus, it's more proof that the Ethiopians worship God. Why? Because they would not just send one man to go and learn Hebrew and nobody else learn it. So if this man was reading from the book of Isaiah, that means that he, one possibility is that he read Hebrew. And if he read it, then it's possible that the queen read it, okay? And if it's, and the queen read it, then it's possible that many of her subjects, if not all of her subjects, read Hebrew, okay? And more proof of that is the fact that we go back to Jethro talking to Moses. What language were they speaking? Because we read in the Bible and it's telling us that Moses and Jethro are talking. So either they're speaking a neutral language or they're speaking the same language. I would say that they're speaking the same language. Why? Because Jethro was a priest of Midian, and Midian is on the southern tip of Israel. Okay? So it's natural they would speak Hebrew also. Okay? Which means that this Ethiopian spoke Hebrew, which makes sense because he's reading from the book of Isaiah. Okay? So could he possibly be an ignorant pagan if he spoke his language and Hebrew? I doubt it. And no one that worships God is a pagan. God's going to prosper you. Okay? We already know that. Okay? And we know they were prosperous because he was in charge of the queen's treasure. And you can't have a treasure unless you got some money. Okay? That's why it's called a treasure. Okay? So these weren't ignorant pagans out in the bushes. They didn't know what they were doing. They worshiped God. They were prosperous. Okay? They had a kingdom. Because why? They had a queen. Okay? And the very fact that the Romans were occupying Jerusalem at that time, but they weren't occupying Africa. We know this because the eunuch was going back and forth from Jerusalem to his country. And the Romans weren't doing anything about it. Why? Because the Africans had their own kingdom. They were a great kingdom also. That's from the Bible. I'm not making these things up. You just put two and two together from what you read. Even if it doesn't say it outright, there are certain assumptions that are logical that an educated person would make. I'm not reading anything into this. I'm making a logical conclusion. Okay? Now, a second possibility is that he was reading the Bible in his native tongue, which is more proof that they must have really loved the Word of God to have it translated into a native African tongue. Is that not so? Of course it is. You're going to take the time to translate something in your language. It's got to be worth your time. Okay? Which is another proof that they spoke Hebrew if they translated it from Hebrew unto their native tongue, whatever it was. And the last possibility is that it was in Greek. Okay, the New Testament is written in Greek, and Greek was the language of commerce and the educated class spoke Greek. okay? Education, commerce, and things like that, business and religion, it was all in Greek at that time, okay? Which is why the New Testament was in Greek. So it's a possibility, I'm not saying that it happened, but it's a possibility that this eunuch, this African eunuch, was reading a Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament, okay? Which would mean he was an educated man, which would, again, okay, goes counter to what we have heard out of history books, that all that the African nations were all pagans and dumb and didn't know anything, okay? So this refutes, the Bible refutes a lot of what we've been taught in history, okay? We know that Satan hates anything remotely concerning the truth, okay? He's not going to teach it to us, okay? So can you see why God hates blacks? Can you understand it now? Okay? Because just like the Jews, they're God's people also. They're not God's people. For those blacks out there call themselves the true Jews, that's not true. And I'm going to talk about that in another discussion when I discuss replacement theology in the New Age. Okay? Because that's a New Age teaching back from hell. It's from the pit of hell, and it's a lie. The blacks are not the Jews. We're not the true Jews. The Jews are the true Jews. Okay? And the fact that there are so many distinctions between blacks and Jews in the Bible proves that right off the bat. They can't be the same thing if they're being distinguished one from another. Can they? No. Okay? You hear when God calls Egypt the land of Ham, then he also calls it Saba, then he also calls it Ethiopia, but he never calls the Jews Ethiopia. He never calls Ethiopia Israel. So he's calling certain things other things, but he never calls those things something else, okay? Blacks are Ethiopians, they're Cushites, they're the land of Ham, all these things, okay? He calls Israel, he calls them Jacob, okay? He calls them Zion, he calls them many things, but he never calls the Jews black, he never calls the blacks Jews. Why? Because they're not the same thing, that's why, okay? So get off that blacks are the true Jews, because they're not. Blacks are blacks and Jews are Jews. Okay, so this is what I'm trying to prove here is that that God does not hate blacks. He doesn't hate blacks. He loves blacks. It's Satan that hates them, and I've given you the reason. There are three reasons why Satan hates blacks. One, because God loves blacks. Satan hates everything that God loves. Two, because blacks loved God at that point. And Satan's going to hate you if you love God because he hates God. And three, because Jethro really chapped Satan's hide when he gave Moses that advice and kept Satan from destroying them out in the desert. So if you're black and you have this feeling that God hates you, it's not true. God loves blacks. Why then, you may ask, did God allow blacks to suffer so? And why in certain places they still are suffering? Okay, we still are suffering in certain places, in certain respects. I'll tell you why. Because we stopped worshiping God and we started worshiping idols. That's why. He did the same thing to the Jews. When they started worshiping idols, he sent them in Babylon as slaves. Then he sent them to Egypt as slaves. Okay? Then we know what Hitler did to them. Okay, they've been persecuted because they turned their backs on God. Jesus said, I mean, they killed Jesus. We know this. We know this. They blame it on the Romans. I talked to a Jew when I was in Germany. I was doing a picture. I was doing a voiceover for a particular movie. And it was actually for, this guy was a Jew. And it was actually for the persecution of the Jews under the Inquisition. And I was doing the voiceover for this movie. And I just asked him a very simple question. I asked him, to be honest, I can't remember the question. But I remember the answer. He said, Jews did not kill Jesus. It was the blacks. I'm sorry. It was the Romans. That's what he said. This is a Jewish guy said this. He said, the Jews did not kill Jesus. It was the Romans. So I knew right off in the bat, that must be something that they're saying. It was the Romans, not us. It wasn't us. It was the Romans, okay? And if you look at the movie, the Passion of Christ, the Passion of the Christ, who does it seem hated the Jesus more? The Romans? Because when they're beating him, man, they're like beating him and treating him like dogs. The only time you really see the Jews actually hating him is when they walked up and hit him in the jaw and spit in his face. But all this time when he's getting beaten and he's having to carry his cross, it's the Romans that are treating him like a dog. So the Jews are putting this off on Rome. Probably. I don't know this for a fact, but I know at least one Jew who did. Okay? I know at least one Jew who did. Okay? So when the Jews The Jews crucified Jesus and turned their backs on him. He put him into slavery. I've already proven to you that God loves the blacks and they worshiped him. Okay? But they turned right around and turned their backs on him too. And what happened to us? We were also enslaved. And we've also been persecuted. Understand it's because we turn our backs on God. Understand that. Understand that even though many say that all non-Jews are Gentiles, that what I just showed you from the Bible proves that the blacks are not Gentiles, biblically speaking. Because it says that all the, you know, the descendants of Japheth, okay, formed all the isles of the Gentiles. The Gentiles are the Europeans, according to the Bible, not according to me. I didn't interpret this. I read this for you. Okay? So we're kind of, we've always been close to the Jews, God's people also. And it just stands to reason, because Jews persecuted, blacks persecuted. So if you're black and you're thinking that God hates you, it is absolutely not true. It's absolutely not true. So don't believe it. Don't believe it. You have a cherished role in God's heart. The blacks are beloved to God. But if you turn your back on him, he's going to chastise you. The Bible tells us that God chastises those whom he loves. So if God loves you and you turn your back on him, he's going to put the screws to you. That's just the way it's going to happen. Okay? And that's what's been happening to the blacks. And we need to know that. But we also need to know that we're going to be redeemed. The Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah that we're going to be redeemed to God. He's going to redeem us just like he's going to redeem the Jews. The Bible tells us he's going to redeem the Jews. But the Bible also tells us in the book of Isaiah, he's going to redeem the blacks. So in other words, everyone that loved him and turned their backs on him, he's going to forgive you and redeem. Not as a there are blacks now who love God. He's already forgiven. But I'm saying he's going to forgive the blacks as a nation. Just like he's going to do for the Jews, he's going to redeem the blacks as a nation that turned their backs on him. Okay? That's important for black people to know. God does not hate you. It's Satan that hates you. God loves you. And if God loves you, Satan is compelled. It is his nature that he has to hate you. And the people of Satan will hate you also. How will you know someone that is of Satan? If they hate you, you can just pretty much put two and two together and know that they hate that they hate God also. Okay? Because the Bible actually says, how can you say that you love God whom you have not seen and hate your brother whom you've seen? Okay? This says this in the book of 1 John chapter 2. How can you love God and you ain't even seen him, but hate your own brother and you see him every day? God says, no, it's not possible. Regardless of what you say, God says, no, you can't do it. If you hate your brother, then you hate me too. Because I said love everybody. So understand that if you're black, God does not hate you. He loves you. And he wants you to come to him. Okay? If you're an African who thinks God hates you, that's not true. He loves you and he wants you to come to him. Okay? And I've just proven that to you. You have a cherished role in God's heart. Why don't you go to him? Go to the website, www.thestillman, all one word, T-H-E-S-T-I-L-L-M-A-N, thestillman, all one word, .com, and go to What Must I Do to Be Saved? Find out how you can come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and be saved and take part and claim your heritage, which is the kingdom of heaven. That's all I have today, folks, and thank you for joining me during this discussion. I hope you learned something. It was my pleasure and my honor to bring it to you. Until we talk again, this is the Still Man saying, be encouraged and look up, for your redemption draweth nigh.